It's that time again for Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. Stay tuned for Kingdom Building.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
Everybody sing.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom?
Come on.
Come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody.
Righteousness. WAIF FM, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. And thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 5. Mike and Oscar, keep praying Oscar's recovery from knee surgery, and keep him in your thoughts and prayers, and also keep Misty's family in your thoughts and prayers. I know I have for the last week when I found out that she went to be with the Lord, and we just need to keep her families lifted up in prayer, and we'll be seeing her again someday, won't we? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm here with Jim. Jim, what it is Mike and Oscar couldn't make it, so I'm stuck with Jim. No.
I'm the third man on the wheel.
Thank you so much for coming in and filling in, and I appreciate that, brother.
I work cheap.
Do you? How about free? You know, when I was in the sales business or whatever, I would give speeches and stuff, and you know, one of my all time favorite sales trainer, he'd call me up and he'd say, "I need you," he would say, "Rich, do you believe in free speech?" And I went, "Well, of course I do." And he said, "Well, I want you to give a free speech over in Louisville next week to this group of people."
That's good.
Anyway, praise the Lord. God bless you. We're just so happy to be here. And don't turn that dial. Listen for the next hour. And we're going to encourage you. God's going to encourage you. God's going to bless you. And you know, we always pray that God would open the eyes and open the ears to whatever you have need of right now. And God is more than capable of doing that. So we just pray that you receive today. And that...
call if they have any needs.
If you have any needs, 749-1444. If you have any prayer requests that you're... Let's just say the new year hasn't been that great for you yet. So let us pray with you. We're going to just get that ship turned around in the right direction. So, but we're going to talk today. There's two or three topics. That's why you need to stay tuned, because maybe one topic doesn't get you, but there's two more coming. So, but right now I was just led to read this. I mean, we always talk here at Kingdom Building about having the mind of Christ. That's always something that, it says, let this mind be in you. Guess what? You have to do something for that mind of Christ to come into you. And let me tell you something. The more we look at our fleshly mind, we don't want it anymore. It's not something that we even want. So I would say everyone would want the mind of Christ, because you look at the fruit that Christ had and whatever, and he even made the statement, you know, it's in the Bible, you can look it up. When you see him, meaning Jesus, as he is, you will be like him. And, you know, it's not a matter of trying to emulate him. It's actually from the inside out being like him. So anyway, in 2 Corinthians 5, I like this, the way the Passion puts it. It says, if we are out of our minds in a blissful divine ecstasy, it is for God. But if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for how many of us? 50% of us? No, all. All of us. This means all died with him. When I got that revelation years ago, it was like one of the most freeing things I'd ever experienced, and that was that Christ's crucifixion was our crucifixion. Christ's burial was our burial, and the good news is Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. You are resurrected.
That doesn't do anything halfway, does it?
No, you are resurrected. You don't have to live that old life anymore. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This means all died with him, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. We didn't say anything else. That's a mouthful right there. So then, from now on, okay, that means from this second on, right now, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate or judge people merely by their outward appearance. For that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, Jesus. Many of them looked at his outward appearance and said, he's the Son of God, he's the Son of Man? I mean, come on. No longer do we see Jesus with limited human insights.
Yeah, wasn't it Paul that said if they would have known who he was, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory?
Yeah, but he had to be crucified.
Yeah, yeah.
So God, just like God hardened Pharaoh's heart, God did the hardening. It wasn't Pharaoh doing his own hardening. I mean, he was a willing participant, but God did the hardening. And then God will allow us to be blind until it's time for an awakening to occur. And maybe your awakening is today. Anyway, it says now, right now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, if you're in Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Even if you've already given your life to the Lord, right now, today can be your new beginning. It could be the new you going forth in this world today. So, you know, this is it. This is your day. This is your day of salvation. This is the day of the Lord for you. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Hallelujah. Praise. I mean, come on. That is... God's given you a new start, folks, right now. Right now, you can have a new start this second. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Don't you want a life that is fresh and new? Because I don't know about you, but when I was trying to run my own life, I didn't do a very good job. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself. An interesting thing. If you are reconciled to him, then guess what? At one time, you were with him. If you're estranged from your wife or your husband, and you reconcile...
You were married before.
You were married before, mm-hmm. And you were one before, mm-hmm. In marriage, you're one in the body. So guess what? If he's reconciling us back to himself, then guess what? You were one with him at one time before you got off on the wrong track. And given us in ministry of reconciliation, others are reconciling others to God. It's your job, if you're a believer, it's your job to reconcile others to the Lord. That's part of your responsibility here on earth. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions.
Wow.
What? You mean it's that easy? Yes, it's what it says right here. And I'm going to read something else that backs this up. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. Everybody that's ever been a believer that's opened a Bible knows John 3:16, right? I guarantee there's nobody that hasn't heard that. It says, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. Lord told me 20, 30 years ago, don't ever read John 16 without reading John 17 and John 3:18. John 3:17 says, God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world. Wow.
Man.
Then why did he send his son into the world?
Why is there so much talk about judgment?
Right. Why did he send his son into the world? To be its savior.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
To be its savior and rescue it. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus came into the world, not to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets even better. So now there is no longer any condemnation for those who believe in him. But the so there's no condemnation. It even says it in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to him who is in Christ Jesus. Now it even gets better, folks. I'm telling you. It says, and you'll say, well, why is this better? But the unbeliever already lives under condemnation because they do not believe in the name of God and his beloved son. Why is that good news? Because you can change it right now. You can change that right now. This second, you can stop wherever you are. If you're driving down the road, you can stop. And you can accept the free gift that God's given you of salvation. He's waking you up right now from your slumber. And you can have it. It's yours.
He wants you to know who you really are.
Yeah. Keep going on that.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I mean, I agree. What do you mean, though? Who are we really?
Well, we are really in Christ at once. When we awake up to the reality of who we really are.
Right.
Because when Christ died on the cross, the prophet John said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. So all the sins of the world were taken away. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever right now, your sins really do not exist as far as in the mind of the Father right now, because the Son went ahead and reconciled. If you're an accountant, you have a credit and you have a debit, and you have to reconcile those accounts, and that's what Jesus did on the cross.
You want more credits than debits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well,
and guess what? He canceled all your debits.
He did. That's exactly what he did. But, Rich, as you're talking, I think the thing that has been rolling through my mind is this is really a journey. It's an adventure. And when somebody starts believing into the Lord, when they're first born again or they're woken up, that's when the journey begins.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the fallacy kind of in some of the fellowships today is they preach so much about now that you've escaped hell and you're on your way to heaven, you're home free, now you just have to live a good life.
Just hang on,
right, and wait until you die and then go to heaven. But frankly, heaven just came into you. You know, Jesus prayed that prayer, Father, thy will be done in earth. Well, he wasn't talking about the earth that's got the roads and the trees out there and the buildings. He was talking about your earth. And heaven actually has come into your earth, and now God wants you to start walking in that heavenly life, in that resurrected life that he paid such a high price to give you. You've already passed from judgment unto life. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, Amen. He says. So that's where you're walking right now. You're walking in favor with God. So many people are suffering from spiritual performance anxiety today. They think that they just have to do something for
They're
the Father.
They're not good enough because they messed up or they said this to someone or they hold some unforgiveness for someone. Yeah, you need to work all that out.
Right.
But he still loves you.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He still loves you. We always like at Kingdom Building to back up scripture with more scripture. And because I know a lot of people, that's the important part is, does it line up with scripture? Well, then we're going to line it up just for all those that need that. So there's in Titus, how often do you read Titus? You know, but there's some awesome stuff in Titus. It says in the third chapter of Titus, there's something called the hymn of salvation by grace. Oh, I love that. It says, when the extraordinary compassion of God, our Savior, He has extraordinary compassion for you. Mm-hmm. He loves you that we just said that, for he loves the world. Mm-hmm. He gave his only begotten Son. Right. He has extraordinary, unconditional love for you. And you say, well, this is ridiculous. You're just giving everybody a license to sin out there. No. Uh-uh. No.
You're going to sin without a license, one preacher said.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what we're not saying. We're saying that his love for you, you know, I don't know about you and even the carnal mind. If you have a mother that loves you, you're not going to purposely do something to hurt her. I mean, you may accidentally hurt her by something you did or whatever, but you love that person. Well, spiritually speaking, it's impossible for God to not love you. It's not possible. You say, well, all things are possible with God. Well, this isn't.
No, because he is love.
He is love.
That's his very nature.
He can't do anything but love you.
Try to reconcile.
And you say, well, what if I do bad things? Well, if you do bad things, the society has laws, and if you disobey the laws, you're going to pay the price. Mm-hmm. But it's not God making you pay the price. It's the law of the land making you pay the price. But it says, in his overpowering love, boy, he does have overpowering love. He powered over me to get to me, and I've felt that love, and I still feel it every day. His overpowering love suddenly appeared in person, in the form of Jesus, of course. As the brightness of a dawning day, he came to save us, not because of any virtuous deed that we have done. There you go.
What'd you say?
I know. Let me repeat that. He saved us not because of any virtuous deed that we have done.
I thought I had to walk down the aisle and
say the magic prayer and all that.
And
guess what?
Yeah.
It's your heart.
Confessing in front of the whole congregation.
If you have a heart for the Lord as he has a heart for you, it's all there.
Yeah.
Okay. But only because of his extravagant mercy. Now think about that. He's got extravagant mercy. He's got extraordinary compassion. And he's got overpowering love. Boy, that's a sermon right there. Maybe
what a
God's,
father. What a father.
Yeah, that's a sermon right there, folks. If we got any pastors, boy, jump on Titus 3, and it's the hymn of salvation by grace, not by works. And we're going to talk a little bit about works here in a little bit, because works are important, but not when it comes to your initial salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't work your way into heaven. Okay. He saved us. Okay, here we go. resurrecting us. You got to be dead before you can be resurrected. Mm-hmm. You can't be resurrected if you're not dead. Mm-hmm. So guess what? We were resurrected with Christ because we died with him. That's what the Bible says. He saved us, resurrecting us through the washing of rebirth. Remember, good old Nicodemus said, well, how can I be born again and go back into my mother's womb? Well, guess what? It's not a physical rebirthing. It's a spiritual rebirthing. We are made completely new by the Holy Spirit, whom he splashed over us richly by Jesus, the Messiah, our life giver. So as a gift of his love, and since we are faultless, innocent, before his face, you get a lot of strange looks on that one, but that's what it says. We can now become heirs of all things. Folks, you got to realize what God's done for you. You got to realize what's available to you because it's so much more than what you think. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than what I think.
That even what many of us have been taught, really.
Exactly. Here's the end of it. All because of an overflowing hope of eternal life. Man, that's a powerful... That's Titus 3, starts with verse 5. Very powerful. Is it 4 or 5? I don't know. My glasses aren't working too well today. I think it's 4. It's 4. So anyway, and then they end this by this. Titus says, how true and faithful is this message? Yes, it's very true and it's very faithful. God is faithful, folks, and you all know that. We're not telling you anything you don't already know.
But you know, Rich, in order to find out if what you just said is true or not, anybody can read words off a printed page.
Right.
Okay. But the Lord wants us to experience him by the Spirit. Okay, God is spirit. And if you're going to know God, you're going to know him by your spirit that's inside of you where he dwells.
Yes.
The King James Bible, the words on the pages of the Bible, they're wonderful. They're a portal to open up a window of heaven for us to walk through.
Yes.
But you've got to experience, like we talked about, I think it was a week ago, Rich, in John, in the Passion Bible, in John chapter 17, Jesus uses the word experience 6 times in there. Mm-hmm. He says, for the Father wants you to experience his love. The Father wants you to understand and experience the oneness that you have in him. So Jesus kept emphasizing, Father wants us to experience these things, okay? And it's more than just reading a book and going to church on Sunday morning, okay? You've got to give some time to the Lord. We were talking about this before the radio show started, Rich. I said probably some of the greatest inroads that I started making in my relationship with the Lord was when I started devoting, taking some time aside, dedicated specifically to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might want to ask yourself, how much time am I really dedicating to the one that I'm married to? You know, you're the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how would you feel if, you know, your husband never gave you any attention? You never knew where he was. And, you know, we're the bride of Christ. And the Lord wants to fellowship with us. That's the reason why Jesus went through everything he went through on the cross, so that God could have that oneness with us. We are what the Bible refers to as a new creation. There is not another creation like us in the cosmos. I mean, this is one of the most important things that God has ever done throughout history. And that is, he has decided to make man his tabernacle. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Stop and think about that. You know, Jesus was the prototype of what we are. Jesus was God's son and God-man. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do in you. He wants to bring this fullness to a head in you. He wants us to mature in Jesus Christ to understand who we really are in the Father, who we really are in Jesus Christ. And the answer to the problems of today, brothers and sisters, is not the politicians. I think that's pretty obvious at this stage of the game. There's no but total confusion up there. But the answer to the world's problems is the Church of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's people becoming mature in God and starting to manifest the fruits of the Spirit of God, which is peace, love, and joy. Because right now the world is tremendously looking for peace. And in the days ahead, unfortunately, I think that they're going to be looking for peace even in a greater way. I can remember 20 years ago when I was walking in downtown Dayton, and the Lord, he got my attention on the big hotel down there, and he said, "Would you like to have that hotel?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And then he showed me a big office building. He says, "Well, how would you like to have that big office building over there? It's worth millions and millions of dollars." I said, "Well, that wouldn't be bad." I didn't know where God was going with this. But eventually the Lord said, "Son, the hour is coming when the most precious commodity in the earth will be peace. It won't be buildings. Mm-hmm. It won't be cash in the bank, mm-hmm. but it'll be peace. And the only way you find that is through the Prince of Peace."
Amen.
And, you know, this is what I hope and pray for all the listeners and for the church and the world, for that matter, is that we find peace. But the only place we're ever going to find it is in intimacy with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen, amen, and amen to that. Well,
you were talking about the judgments. Were you going to?
Yeah, we were going to do that the second half hour where we get into the judgments and grace and works, because, you know, for the new believer, it is kind of confusing.
Very.
You know, to sit there and you read one scripture and it says this, and you think this scripture totally annuls what you just read over here. And it doesn't. It all makes sense, but you have to sometimes dig deep.
Got to get it by the Spirit.
Yeah, you got to get it by the Spirit and go deep with the Spirit in some cases to be able to have understanding. And then after you have understanding, then you can gain wisdom.
Yeah, you know, let's face it, Brother Rich. There's really not a lot of wisdom and understanding. You hate to say it, but I mean, when you think about the church, it's so divided and so split up. And why is it? It's because everyone has a different interpretation, frankly, of the Bible. Instead of sitting down with the Lord and hearing by the Spirit, which was what God is encouraging us to do, we sit and we heap unto ourselves all these different preachers and so on and so forth.
And they're only operating in the light that God's given them.
Right, right.
We can't look to man.
Right, exactly.
It's great that you have a pastor. That's great. Right. And that you love your pastor and he brings a word on Wednesday night, or she brings a word on Sunday. That's all great.
But you've got to go beyond man's wisdom.
But you know what? A long time ago, Lord said, "Don't look to man. Mm-hmm. Don't look to man. Mm-hmm. Look to me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Take advantage. You know, and Jim, I'm reminded of Brother Roy Ralph's sermon where he said, you know, when they crossed into the promised land, they went into a lot of different villages, and these were heathen villages, but he says, take what you need and move on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the way I look at men, right. Women.
Yeah.
You know, we say men, we're saying men and women.
Yeah.
That's how I look at them, is if there's a nugget that they can give me, praise the Lord, I'll take that nugget. But I am responsible for my growth in Christ.
In your relationship.
It's my relationship in Him. He will grow me right. Without, it says, you don't need a man to teach you when you got the Holy Spirit. So whatever you get from a man, it might be something you learn from, and that's good, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave it to that man.
Yeah.
It's not his degree. It's not his title. It's not his whatever. It was the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take, like Jim says, enough time with him, wow, he says he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So guess what? Guess what your reward is? More of him. And when you get more of him, you have more peace. When you get more of him, you have more joy. When you get more of him, you're righteous, you know? And he does, you can rest in the Lord and he'll do all the work. That doesn't mean that you don't have a part in this. But guess what? It says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So you can Work, 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 work. And if it's not what the Lord's asking you to do, it's not going to bear fruit, folks.
Yeah, that's just what I said before. There's such a thing as people suffer from spiritual performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, am I doing enough for the Lord? You know, how many times have you sat down and said, oh, God, am I doing enough for you? It seems like I should be doing more. But, you know, really what the Lord is mainly interested in is not so much what you're doing. It's becoming something. It's becoming something. It's, you know, the whole plan and purpose of God started in Genesis where he said, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. And that's what God is endeavoring to do all throughout time.
Yes.
Is to create a creation of perhaps billions of sons and daughters that are in his image and in his likeness. You know, Jesus turned the world upside down, him and 12 men. And then he turns and he says, but you guys, you'll do even greater things than I, for I go to the Father. And what he was referring to is when we come to the mature status of where God wants us to be, there's going to be millions of, if I put it this way, millions of little Jesuses walking the earth with tremendous power and tremendous love.
Well, he said greater things you will do. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The only thing that could be greater than what he did was more of him.
More of it. Right.
More of him,
right,
doing what he does, right, best, and that's healing the sick, delivering those that are afflicted,
yeah,
and loving people, yeah, and feeding those miraculously. We're talking about spiritual feedings, physical too. Yeah. I mean, it's both.
Amen.
But we're going to take a break now, Jim, and go to this, I think it's a COVID commercial, so...
This outbreak called COVID-19 started in China and is spreading to many countries, including the U.S. It's critical to get the facts about how to protect our friends and loved ones. While CDC is working with states and communities to stop the spread of the virus, health workers and emergency response efforts need our support. The CDC Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is focusing on immediate and critical needs that help protect our communities here at home and those around the world. We can all play a role in stopping this deadly virus. Get updates, learn how to protect your friends and family, and find out how to help. Go to cdcfoundation.org. That's cdcfoundation.org. Together, our impact is greater.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the CDC Foundation.
Okay, so also, you know, this, if you've tuned into Kingdom Building or to WAIF for the first time, this is a listener-supported broadcast and listener-supported radio station. So, you know, we have share-a-thons from time to time, but you know what? You can donate to the station at any time. You go to our website at WAIF883.org. And you will be able to go through the website and find a place to donate, and we do appreciate that. We need to, the only way we can stay on the air is through donations. So God bless you for giving. Okay, so now we laid some groundwork here. Now let's go into something a little deeper. Are you ready for something deeper? Of course you are. Anyway, you know, we talked about salvation, which is the cornerstone of our faith and our walk, but it's just a beginning point. It's not, that's not everything, folks. It's just a beginning point. It's just a starting point. So we talked about that your salvation, that, you know, Lord loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son. All that stuff, we all, that's basic stuff, and we all know that. But then it comes into a thing where it gets a little muddy, where it talks about grace and works. It talks about works. And you just got done telling us, Rich and Jim, that your salvation is not about works. It's about grace that God's given you, that he, it's a gift that he's given you, that had nothing to do with your works as far as what you're doing. So then why does the Bible talk about grace and works? And I've got a scripture here in Romans 11. It says, It says, and that is but one example. And it's talking about, you're not alone, for I have preserved a remnant for myself. So there's a remnant out there. And I would think that anybody listening to this, if you've hung in here for the last 35 minutes, you're part of that remnant. And it says, and that is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant. Mm-hmm. His grace empowers it.
It empowers. He empowers them.
I'm going to stop there, and you're going to give a definition of grace that you gave before the broadcast. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think a great definition of grace that I heard, Rich, was grace is the divine influence that produces effortless change.
Whoa.
As you rest in him. He's called us to rest in him and not to try and change ourselves.
Effortless.
Okay? Yeah.
That's the word that jumps out at me is effortless.
And the way you enter into his rest is, this may sound funny, but you rest into his rest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus said, my yoke is
it's
easy.
My burden is light.
Yeah. Why is it that all of a sudden we feel like the yoke is heavy, or, you know, the burden's heavy, the yoke is not light? It's because we get off on some other doctrines and things that we don't need to be in, quite frankly, mm-hmm. especially doctrines on judgment and stuff like that that are so misunderstood.
Yeah. So God's grace empowers us.
Mm-hmm.
And since it is by God's grace, it can't be a matter of their good works.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay? Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift of grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But earned by human effort. You can't work your way into salvation, into a heavenly realm. But then the Bible goes on back later on and says, you know, this is Paul speaking it in Romans 11. But then, you know, he also speaks, or James says, show me your faith by your works. Mm-hmm. So there's a dichotomy here that can be misinterpreted by many, because you're sitting there, you just read that it wouldn't be a gift of grace, but earned by human effort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, how can we turn that around and then say, well, if you have faith, then you're going to have works. Show me your faith by your works. So it comes down, judgment is a very difficult word to study into in the Christian, in the Holy Bible, because of these, what seems like
so many different doctrines on it.
Yeah,
extremely confusing.
But it just seems like if you just read it for face value, which you can't read the Bible for face value, it seems like they're inconsistent with each other,
mm-hmm.
and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go ahead and try to just break it down in 5 minutes as far as why does it seem like an inconsistency, mm-hmm. but it's not.
You know, I want to take a step backwards just one second before we get into that, because James says, you know, we'll demonstrate our works by our faith.
Mm-hmm.
First off, what James is talking about there is not the faith of man. And that's something that we have to realize. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are in an intimate relationship with the Lord, and if you're focused on the Lord, he will impart, by grace, this faith into you.
Mm-hmm.
And that faith will energize you, and you will want to do the works of God. It won't be a question of, see, so much in all of our Christian life, we always felt like we were either pressured to do something, you know, pressured to give, pressured to go to church 3 times a week, and et cetera, et cetera. And these were all things that we considered good works that was pleasing to God. Now, I'm not saying going to church 3 times a week is not pleasing. Praise God, you know, or giving. Praise God. We're going to do all that because we now have a heart to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And when James is saying, I'll know if you're walking in the faith of God, because I'll see your works. And, you know, there's the faith of man and the faith of God. And they're two completely different things. But when you have a relationship with the Lord, you know, we were saved by grace through faith. You didn't save yourself. It was the grace of God that imparted this faith to you. And it will be the grace of God that will continue to impart this faith to you, to do the works of God. But you're not going to be able to do the works of God trying to operate through your own faith. And you'll know the difference, because a lot of times, you know, you'll just be trying to do something. It's just, you just don't want to do it. But, you know, you say, well, for God, I'll do it. Well, God's not looking for those kind of sacrifices, okay? That isn't necessarily pleasing to God. You know, if you're giving money on Sunday morning to the church and you really don't want to, okay, God's not interested in those kind of sacrifices.
Let me jump in here, sure, because it says in James, I was going to read James, and it's exactly what you're saying. It says, I think this is just hits the nail on the head. So then faith that doesn't involve action is phony. He's talking about, you know, don't say you have faith and then there's a brother or sister that needs a meal,
right,
or that needs a cloak or something. So he says faith that doesn't involve action, in other words, if there's a need out there and the Lord tells you to fulfill that need,
right,
it doesn't mean you have to fulfill every need, every guy that or lady that's begging for money.
No.
Jesus walked by the Gate Beautiful many, many times and didn't heal the guy that John and Peter walked by and healed.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? It's what the Lord speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do.
Well, that's where the faith comes from.
That's
it's
right.
It's in His Word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dynamic force. I mean, you know, it was His Word, the faith that created the worlds and the cosmos. So anyway, yeah, I just wanted to make that distinguish. You know, if you find yourself doing works and you're murmuring and complaining and growling about it, you need to spend a little bit more time with Father and just go back and say, you know, Lord, you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and I just don't feel an easy yoke, and I feel a heavy burden. Well, that isn't what God said you should feel, okay? So get in His presence, spend a little bit of time with the Lord, and I think you're going to start experiencing, really, His strength operating through you. You know, in Psalm 62, I just read this morning, 62:1 says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence." And Psalm 42 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" Why is your soul in turmoil? And then the psalmist goes on to write, "Hope in God, for I shall praise Him, for my salvation is of God." But if you've got turmoil in your soul, you know, the scriptures say, hope in God. Get together with the Lord. Say, impart some hope to me, Lord. Raise up some of that resurrection hope that's inside of me. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Well, we'll just give it this one, and then we can move into anything else. Now, let me see if I can find it. It's here somewhere, folks.
Well, you know, another verse there, not to stop the flow there, Rich, but in Philippians, it talks about, "For it is God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure."
Yeah.
It's God working in you and through you to do of His good works. Okay?
And James, after in second chapter, it says, "So then faith that doesn't involve action is phony." Then it says, "But someone might object and say, one person has faith, another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works." I mean, just keeps playing on these words. Faith and works as proof that I believe. You can't believe all you want that there is one true God, and that's wonderful. But even the demons know this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, and tremble with fear before Him. Yet they're unchanged. They remain demons. Anyway, you know, this may sound complicated, but it's not. Keep it simple. Just like we said earlier, spend the time with the Lord. If you're open to hearing his voice, he is open to speaking it to you.
Didn't he say, come as a child in order to enter my kingdom?
Yeah.
He didn't say, come with your PhD in theology.
No.
He said, come as a child.
Right.
And I think that's really where we are missing it so much today in the church world, is just coming as a humble child to the Lord and understand that God will meet you. He's not this high and lifted up God on this fiery throne. I mean, he wants to, you know, become one with you. And the reason why he does is because he wants you to come to a real true knowledge of who he is and the great lover of your soul that he actually is.
Yeah.
And the more you get to know him, the more time you want to spend with him and the easier it is to focus on him. Initially, it's a little bit difficult to stay focused on the Lord and practice the presence of the Lord. You know, we really have to make it a lifestyle. It's great to get off to the side with the Lord, you know, and meditate on some scriptures or whatever. Just wait to hear the voice of the Lord and meditate on what God is saying to you. But we do have to practice the presence of the Lord. Even when we come out of our prayer closets, we got to keep the Lord in front of us.
Amen.
At work and everywhere.
Amen. You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati. So glad that you've tuned in today. And, you know, when it comes to judgment, it even says that the holy ones, the saints, will judge the world and the angels. Now think about that. Okay, how would you like to be judged? Would you judge someone else with a heavier hand than you would want to be judged by?
No.
No, because it says however you judge someone else,
it'll be back to you.
It's back to you. It's on you, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to get off this
judgmental
spirit that's on this country. I mean, everybody's judging everybody, and it's like, well, if they don't believe the way I believe, there's something wrong with them. Well, you know what? Maybe there's something wrong with you if you're judging. I mean, the bottom line is, it's tough to watch the news. I can't watch the news. There's so much going on that, you know, I don't want that negativity in the temple of God. I mean, we are the temple of God. I'm not saying don't turn off the TV. I'm not saying that, but I did. And I have no regrets. I turned the TV off a long time ago. And, well, I have to stay informed. Okay, then be informed. Watch TV 24/7 if that's what you think the Lord wants for you, but it's not for me. All I can say is it's not for me. I don't watch it. The only thing I have some responsibility on is me. I have responsibility for me and the realm around me. In other words, how I treat other people, how I love every other people, all that. That's where I have responsibility. And guess what? If you're going to put a bunch of junk into your system, that spirit of judgmentalism is going to come out strong.
Junk in, junk out.
Exactly. And so
Christ in, Christ out.
Yeah. You know, whatever you put in is going to come out. So if you're going to put in a bunch of junk, then guess what? It's going to find its way out somehow.
Word of God goes in, word of God comes
in. And I've, you know, let me just tell you, I'm sorry I'm on my soapbox, but I'm going to stay on it for a second. To have brothers and sisters yelling and screaming at each other because of politics is the most ludicrous thing that you could ever think of. Politics is temporal. It's a temporary thing. It, you know, you say, well, it matters. Well, you know, I guess it does.
Then change it by prayer.
Exactly. To sit there and yell at a brother or sister because they don't believe the way you believe, or to get on Facebook or on these different websites and start spewing out your politics, you're not, that's not what Jesus expects of us. I mean, he wants us to love as he loved. And anytime you're going to get into politics, there's no love there. It's a fleshly, divisive thing.
Jesus never got involved in politics.
No.
He's our example.
No.
He's our example, okay? And the only time he ever did get involved was when it was Pilate or one of them said to him, don't you know I have the power to kill you? And he said, you don't have any power unless
no,
it's
don't,
given to
dude.
Me by my Father in heaven. I mean, he wasn't sweating. He didn't get bitter and lash out at Pilate and say, how dare you, you know, to say that you can destroy me? No. He just very calmly and gently and in love said, I'm sorry, but you don't have any power at all over me unless my Father gives it to you. And that was the end of his political position.
It was. And 15, 16 years ago when the Lord gave me a radio program, you know, he made it clear, do not, I repeat, do not get into politics. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I do my civic duty. I vote. And then I keep my mouth shut as far as politics are concerned. Because, first of all, you really don't care what my politics are, just the same as I don't care what your politics are. So how many people have you swayed by trying to convince them that your politics is right and their politics is wrong? None. Zero. I would venture to say it's just a bunch of wasted energy. So take that energy, put it towards love.
Put it toward prayer.
In prayer.
That's what changes.
But put it towards love.
Yeah.
Put it towards love. Love that person who totally disagrees with you. Love them. Because you know what? When it's all said and done, you're going to be in the same place. You're going to be right there together. And Jesus said, make them one as I am one with my Father, and make them one. And guess what? Then and only then the world will believe. So if we're going to let things fragment us and divide us and whatever, we're prolonging the mission of God here on this earth. And we don't want to do that. We want to love one another. It says, love God with everything in your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. He took 670-some laws and put them into two things. Love God. Actually, three. You got to love yourself. There's people out there that don't love themselves very much, and that's something that they need to come to terms with. You got to love yourself.
They don't know their real self.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
They don't. They're believing that they're something that they're not.
False identity they're walking in.
Yeah.
Instead of identifying with Christ.
So let's love one another. Wow, what a novel concept.
It's like I said before, Rich. The answer really is the church, and as long as the church is fragmented, divided, bitter, it's not going to bring about the change that the world needs. We don't realize the power and the authority that we have in this earth realm.
It's a ton.
You know, God says that I control the heavens, but I've given earth to man. Man hasn't done a really great job with it. As a matter of fact, we blame God for an awful lot of stuff that man created down here. Okay, mm-hmm. All the sickness, all the disease and things of this nature. You know, we blame this all on God. But the Lord is in this hour. He's starting to awaken the people to see his true nature, you know, which is love, and really what his divine destiny is for all of humanity. And that's to bring them into a oneness with him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
We're all going to be lovers.
Amen.
Praise God.
Wouldn't it be great if Cincinnati, just everybody, all the believers just decided, hey, we're going to put aside our differences and we're going to love. I mean, that thing would just explode in Cincinnati, and it would go through all parts of this country and then to all parts of the world. But we have to make a decision that we're going to get out of the flesh and we're going to get into the spirit. And when you're in the spirit, you can't do anything but love. You can walk into church or walk into your prayer closet or walk in anywhere to spend time with the Lord, And yeah, your mind may wander to some places that you don't want it to wander to, whatever. But if you take enough time, God'll capture those thoughts, and he'll throw them out the window so that he'll get you thinking about how much he loves you, the grace that he's shed abroad in you, and then how much you are to turn that around and spill that over onto everybody you come in contact with.
Yeah, it's the love of God we're talking about here. We're not talking about manufacturing some love. We've got a lot of that, you know. I love you as long as you do what I want you to do.
Right.
So, again, it gets back to, is it man's faith or is it God's faith? It gets back to, is it your love or is it God's love? Because our love is conditional. Come on. You know, it's conditional. God's love is unconditional, you know, irregardless of what your attitude has been toward the Lord, things that you've done, so on and so forth. God is here to make all things new in your life, okay? And that's, we didn't get into the judgment. Maybe next week we'll talk a little bit about that. But that's what the judgment's about, really, is to bring us into unity with the Lord. It isn't to kill us and hurt us and harm us, and you know, but just to bring us into unity and oneness.
And we'll end with this, Jim, in kind of a precursor to next week. Once you're saved, okay, once you're saved, you're going to heaven, whatever. The thing that God's going to, it says in the Bible, and we'll talk more detail about it, so make sure you tune in next week, but it's what you do with that salvation, what you do with that relationship will determine your rewards in heaven.
There are rewards.
There are rewards. The Bible clearly says there are rewards.
For those who seek after glory and immortality.
So if you want to get saved and get your free ticket into heaven and you know, get your fire escape insurance, guess what? You can do that. And if you're fine with that and there, you don't want to go on with the Lord, you're saved, folks. I'm telling you.
But you're losing out on.
But you're missing out on so much in this life and the life to come.
Yeah.
You're missing out so much. Well, God bless you, Cincinnati. We're going to call it a day. And Debbie's up next with Sound Chat. Sound Chat. So make sure you don't touch that dial. Give her your ear, okay? And we love you. We'll see you next week right here on Kingdom Building, right here in WAIF.
CDC.gov.